Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, inside your bulletin today was some notes, if you'll take them out. We're going to begin a series this morning that we're entitling Friend Request. Now, for the next few weeks, what we're going to do is talk about friends. And I hope to change your idea about some things. Because how many of you understand that when it comes to certain subjects, friends being one of them, we tend to develop our own way of thinking rather than God's way of thinking, right? And God's way of thinking is a whole lot better than ours. It's right. And so we're going to look at this subject, Luke chapter 16, verse 9. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, that when you leave this earth, they will welcome you, they being friends, will welcome you to an eternal home. Wow. Now, as we get started, what I felt like I needed to do at the beginning was just kind of to explain friendships, to explain friends. And so what I want to look at is giving us a foundation to work off of during this series and an understanding of what it means to be a friend. So we're going to explain friends. The first thing is the variety of friends. The variety of friends. Now, I want to illustrate this for you. I'm going to illustrate this for you showing you some shoes, all right? My shoes. Now, when I had a car wreck 30 years ago or so, I don't know. Anyway, long time ago. One of the problems I have still is my foot was trapped between the engine and the seat. And so my foot has a lot of different things. It goes numb sometimes. Sometimes it'll feel like somebody's sticking a straight pin in it. A lot of times what it feels like if your hand falls asleep, mine is that way a lot of times. It is that way right now. Okay? So it's that way. It was, after the wreck, it was 10 months or so before I could even get a shoe on it. Before I could even put it down. It just throbbed. It just hurt. Then it swelled. And so now, you know, I had a wide foot to begin with. Now it's even wider. In order for me to get a shoe, I wear a size 10, 3, or 4E. Yeah, duck. It's a duck foot. I understand that. All right? So I have shoes that I try to work through. These are my dress shoes. All right? Sunday morning. That's it. Just Sunday morning. And I've just started that just a few months ago. I've been able to do that since some things have happened. And sometimes weddings and funerals, I'll put them on. That's what these shoes are, okay? And then I have, these are my day-to-day shoes, clogs. They're easy to get on and off. I don't have to keep my foot in a shoe all day. It's a lot simpler for me, and it doesn't hurt my foot. I hate shoes. I just hate because of, you know, hate shoes. So this is my standard. I have two or three pair of these because these are just the most comfortable thing to wear for me. You got to have tennis shoes. So I have these. All right? You wear these ever so often when you have to. These are good for wearing on a plane because when you go through a security checkpoint, you just slide it off and put it back on and you don't have to mess with tying shoes is horrible. You know, I just don't like tying shoes. Just too tough. These are when your tootsies get cold. You don't wear these all the time. Just so often you have them. You put these on and these keep you nice and warm. They're good for around the house, right? You don't want to take them out. These are my golf shoes. These are the ones that I wear when it's not going to be too wet out. They're just kind of flat, got a little grip to them, don't need a lot. These are what I wear all the time. This is the most comfortable shoe I have. I can adjust the side of it. It goes in there, it's padded in the bottom. It's just a wonderful thing. This is my go-to. I have three or four pair of these because I don't ever want to be without them. And you can't always find them. This is another pair of Goss shoes. He's got spikes on them so that when it's a little tougher, you need that. I found these shoes, they're wide shoes, tennis shoes. I used to wear them, you know, when I tried the gym thing for a while. They had these electric things. You don't have to tie the shoes so you can slip them on, and I don't use these anymore. Okay, so variety of shoes. Do you understand that you have a variety of friends? Just as I have, you and I have a variety of friends. And so let me just kind of go through this a little bit and kind of, you have your friends at work. They're people you work with, they're friends. You have your friends that are family, most of them, okay? They're your friends. You have friends that are not, that are your kids' friends. Your kids have friends, and therefore you kind of have friends with their parents because they connect now and then, and so far you've kind of had a connection there. You have your friends, your hobby friends. For me, my golf friends, the people you go and do things with, those type of thing. You have the friend you have known forever, someone that you grew up with, someone that maybe you're not connected with now, but were they to come back on the scene, you would have an immediate recollection of all the things you had and had you done together. You have the straight-talking friend, the friend who's just going to tell you like it is. You have the Facebook friend. I don't know how many of those you have, but there they are, right? Okay? You have the special connection friend. Because of a certain event that the two of you were involved in, there was a connection that was formed. Because of the certain way this friend is, a lot like you, they mean a lot to you. You have the casual acquaintance friend. They're somebody, you don't know them well, but you, maybe your paths cross maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 or 3 months, but they're yours. They're an acquaintance. You call them, if you were to introduce them to somebody, you'd say, here's my friend. You have the feel-good friend, the person you like being around, the person that when you're around them, they make you feel good. You have the respected friend, the person you admire, the person you owe, you respect them. You have the go-to in trouble friend, the person that when things are getting hard, you go to. You can talk to them. You can tell them. They'll understand. They'll know. You have the person you really care about, that you feel responsible for, that they've become a part of your life and you have a responsibility to them. You have what we would call a best friend. This is the person that's my best friend in life. You have the fair weather friend. You all got one of those, don't you? You have the needy or the high-maintenance friend, the person that when you're around them, they drain you. You know, if I've been saying this, you've all thought of names, haven't you? You have the friend who betrayed you. Oh, Pastor, anybody who betrays me is not a friend. Really? If you look at the Bible, and I've been looking through the different passages and everything, one day Jesus was having a meal with his disciples, and he turned to one of them and said, friend, what you're about to do, go do it. And he was speaking to Judas. He called him friend. You have the friends who've been hard in life. They haven't always seen eye to eye with you. You have the spiritual friend, the friend who helps you grow in the Lord, the friend who can help you be a better person. So you have all these different kinds of friends. You maybe haven't thought of it that way. You maybe haven't looked at it that way. But there is a variety of friends that every one of us have. Some that we look and see often. Some we don't see hardly at all. But they're all under this broad umbrella that's called friends. Now, let's look at the vastness of friends, because here's what's important. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's a definition that we're going to work with through this series. And it's basically this, and I think I wrote it in your notes. A friend is anyone God puts in your path during your journey of life. Anyone God puts in your path during your journey of life. They're a connection. There's somebody that you now relate to. There's somebody now that you have a relationship with. Whether that relationship is just, hi, how are you? Or whether that is, I don't know their name, but I know them, and you know, that type of thing. Whatever it might be. And so you and I have to understand that the variety of thing and the vastness of things, you and I are responsible to other people, because the people we know, people in this building today, you can look around, these are my friends. Now, you might not know all of them. You might not even know a name. You might recognize a face. You might be talking with them one day this week and find out, oh, where do you go to church? Well, I go, oh, I go there too. Suddenly, yeah, there it is. And so a friend is someone that God puts in your path during your journey of life. And notice what our text said. Our text says, you use your resources to benefit others and make friends. Your job in life is to use what you have. Don't just think of your money. You use your personal resources. You use your love. You use your energy. You use all of those resources to benefit others and make friends. Huge vastness of friends. And I know this raises a lot of questions. If you'll stay with me during this series, I hope to answer them. But today we just want to look at, here's what a friend is. How many friends do I have? I have a lot of friends. You have a lot of friends. You might think you're lonely. You might think you don't have any friends, but that's just not true, is it? Okay. Well, Pastor, why do I need friends? Well, let's talk about the value of friends. The value of friends. Proverbs 27:17, very familiar verse. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. That's a powerful statement. 1 John 4:11, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. How is God's love brought to full expression in our life? It is brought to full expression in our life by the way we love other people. Friends. So, let's look at it. First of all, your friends prod you to think about others. Friends prod me to think about other people. Now, we've talked about this before. I've said it often. Just let me say it again to you. By our nature, we are selfish people. We just think about us and our little group. I've got my circle of friends. Oh, you got a whole lot more friends than that. Well, I've got these people, and I just care about me and them. That might be a family unit. That might be a career unit. But there's just this idea that all of us have, that you and I are living for ourselves. And here's what the Bible teaches us. Life is always better when you live it for someone other than you. Did you hear it? Life is always better when you live it for somebody beside yourself. And God made it that way. And God says, okay, here's what I want to do. I want to put other people in your life, and I want you to quit thinking just about you. And I want you to think about someone else. The only way to get your selfish needs met is to be unselfish. The only way to get your selfish needs met is to be unselfish. And so God says, I am going to use people, friends in your life to help you, and you need to think about other people and not just about yourself. And if all you think about is you, or here's what we all understand as Christians, I shouldn't be number one, should I? It's God, others, me, correct? Yeah, and if God's there, then others are right up there too, aren't they? But how many of you would agree with me? We all wrestle with that, don't we? And so God says, look, I'm going to put people in your life to help you not just think about you. I mean, after all, what causes difficulty with friends? Here's what causes difficulties with friends. They don't think like I do. They don't do what I want them to do. They don't say what I want them to say. They don't do the things that I think they should do. And if you're not doing what I want you to do and don't think the way I think you should do, and if you're not helping me, then what value are you to me in my life? And yet the scripture tells us, use your resources to make friends. Boy, that's so contrary to us, isn't it? Yes, it is. Thank you. In fact, when God made the first man, he was the only human being alive. Notice the one thing God says about him. He said when he made him, just like the others, it's good. But notice what else God says in Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who's just right for him. Now that is in the context of male and female, but it's also in the context of understanding it's not good for us to be alone. Philippians 2:3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Why do I need people in my life? Because they help me not to think just about me. Because when I'm only thinking about me, I will make my life miserable. And when I make my life miserable, I will make the lives of others miserable as well, won't I? And so God says, okay, look, here's the deal. I'm going to put all kinds of people into your life, friends, people that you have an opportunity to touch, and I'm going to put them there, and I want you to use all of your resources to make friends. Oh, God, what about me? He goes, that's the point. It's not about you. Quit thinking it's about you. It's about others. And so the value of friends is this. Other people in my life, friends in my life, prod me to think about somebody other than myself, and that's very good for me. Okay? Secondly, what's the value of friends? They help me reach my potential. They help me reach my potential. God created you to grow. God created you to become mature. God created you to use you. And you and I have to understand this basic concept. How does God work in my life? Primarily, God works in your life. And again, I've told you this before. I'm just going to repeat it again. By two means, problems and people. He allows problems to come in your life so you'll grow up. And he'll allow people to come in your life so you'll just quit thinking about you. And yet, I would wager that everybody in this room at one time or another has said something like, I don't want anything more to do with them ever again. I want them out of my life. That's real godly, isn't it? I have to grow, and in order for me to grow, I have to have people. They help me grow. They can help me grow through positive relationships. People can come and speak into my life. People can have an influence in my life. It can be a very positive thing. In the Bible, we're given a great picture of close friends and what friendship is like in the Old Testament with David and Jonathan. Their hearts, we're told, were knit together. They loved each other. They cared for each other. They protected each other. They had each other's back. They prodded each other. You see, you need somebody in your life who is going to be a positive influence in your life. You need someone who can speak into your life. But how many of you understand, iron sharpening iron, sparks fly? Right? But that's how friends sharpen, isn't it? And so they helped me reach my potential. And David and Jonathan had this great relationship. Jonathan literally saved David's life. Jonathan literally gave his life for David. And through that positive relationship, they both became better people. But you know what? I also grow through negative relationships. I grow through the hard relationships. David and Saul. Boy, they didn't get along. Saul, by the way, was Jonathan's dad. Saul tried to kill David. Saul hunted David down. David had to grow up. It was rough. It was miserable. But David became a better man for it. I can go back to several examples. Let me just give you one. We had a couple in the church, not this church. Okay? Somebody you don't know. So don't sit there thinking, I wonder who he's talking about. Just save yourself a lot of time. You don't know him. Not from here. They were friends. We took trips with them. We did things with them. They ended up betraying us, talking bad about us, saying things that weren't true about us, creating problems for us. My kids played with their kids. They were close friends. And when all of that happened, you know what had to happen? God says, look, Phil, let's see how mature you're going to be and how you're going to grow in this. But God, it's not fair what they're doing. God, it's not fair of how this is working. God, this isn't right. And God whispered to me, grow up. And you know what? He's whispered to you a few times, hasn't he? Grow up. Quit making it all about you. Mature, grow, become more like me. I'm going to use these people to help you grow up. I don't want to grow up. You ever said that? I don't want to do this. Well, God says, it's there. It's your call. You can either grow in me or you can be immature the rest of your life. It's your call. And see, you and I have to understand that negative people in our life help us grow if we allow them to. It's all about how I choose to process it, isn't it? And so God puts people into my life to help me mature. He puts people there to help me reach my potential, to become the person I could be. He brings some problems along. Many times those problems are tied to people. And when he brings those people there, I have an opportunity to reach my potential because God would help me grow. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus. He learned obedience. He learned how to grow because of the things he suffered, the things he endured. Now, if he had to go through that, don't you think we would too? But so often what happens is we stunt our growth spiritually because we allow what some person did or said, we allow that to influence us in the negative way and not the positive. And God says, I'm going to use people. I'm going to use your friends to help you grow. About now you're going, I wonder how long this series is going to be. I don't think I need it anymore. I'll just check out. God says, look, I want this to happen. I want to help you reach your potential. Secondly, what else is the value of friendships? How else would I need to do? How do they reach my potential? They provide me an opportunity to influence their life. You see, when the struggles come and the problems come, God says, look, I want to use, just as I'm using them to help you grow, I want to use you to help them grow. And do you understand sometimes that the very people that you have said, I don't want anything more to do with them, are the people God put into your place to help them grow up? I can influence them. You know, it kind of makes sense when you've been mistreated wrongly and you handled it right and you grow out of it and they come back to you and say, we watched you as you went through this and how you handled this and we were wrong. Thank you. You know, few years ago, one of the boys out of this family says, "Hey, I was in the area. How are you ever in the area of Fort Myers? You're down at the end of the world. I was in the area, wanted to stop by, say hello. Brought you the staff." And he had this staff. He knew what I'd been through. He had the staff and had carved the Ten Commandments on it and everything. Wanted to give it to me. You have the great opportunity to have a positive influence on other people's lives. You influence people. You can help them grow personally, emotionally, mentally. You can help them have a healthy life. Do you know there's a lot of people who don't know what a healthy life looks like? And when Christ comes into your life, he begins to make changes to help you live in a way that's healthy, doesn't he? And your witness, your example, the way that you treat people, the way that you respond to them, has an influence in their life. And I can be an example for them. I have this great opportunity with all these friends that I have to show them what a Christian looks like. Because friends, in the day and time which we're living, it's becoming very hard to see what a Christian looks like. I can help them grow personally. I can help them grow spiritually. I can influence them for Christ. I can do what needs to happen in their life in a way that will influence them to grow up, to be more mature. I get to that great opportunity that God has me placed strategically into people's life, not so they can benefit me, but so I can benefit them. What a great opportunity. What a great way. You know, I've been involved in North Fort Myers Chamber and some other things for a long time, it seems like. People there, I'd call them friends. Only time I see them is there. They're not somebody I associate with. You know, we don't go out to dinner. We don't do a lot of things together. I just see them at the meeting and some of the events. And over the years, I've been able to influence friends. You have that influence, don't you? The opportunity to speak into other people's lives, to say, "God, use me today." And he says, "I'll use you every day if you'll just look to me. And if you'll live in the manner in which I've called you to live, I will let you have an opportunity to touch the lives of others for me. And if you'll quit making it about you, and quit carrying the chip on your shoulder because of this and happening and that happening and this going on and this unfairness taking place. And if you'll just quit eliminating people that don't treat you right or look at you wrong one day." Everybody has a bad day, right? Some have them a lot more than others, but everybody has a bad day. Can I overlook that? Can I represent the joy that God gives to me? The hope and peace that I have? Do you know how many people would love to have some peace? You know, we understand how many people would like a little joy in their life? God says, "I'm going to put you in contact with so many people throughout your life that'll be your friends. Oh, they might not be the person you hang out with every day. They might not be the person you would look at and think, 'Wow, I've really got a connection there.' But because your paths have crossed, you have an opportunity to make a difference in their life. Use your resources to make friends." Well, what kind of friends do I make? All kinds. All kinds. And they provide an opportunity for me to grow up spiritually, to mature, to learn, both in the good and the negative. And I have the opportunity to influence their life in the good and the negative, to demonstrate to them what God is about and how God's love operates. Use your resources to do that. Last point. They can be a partner with me in heaven. You know, he says this line. It almost is like it doesn't fit. But I want you to think about it for a moment. The verse we read at the beginning, you know, use your worldly resources to make friends. Oh, why? I don't have enough money to do that. That's not about money. But then he says, at the end there, he says, look, they'll welcome you to an eternal home. Wow. So because of my willingness to use what I have, materially, physically, spiritually, whatever I'm willing to give, I can have an influence, and here's what the verse is saying, so that when I get to heaven, they'll be there with me. And isn't that the greatest thing in life you can do? Isn't that the greatest way that God can use you? You might not be the one who leads them to Christ, but your influence could speak volumes to them on their journey. And your willingness to be unselfish and to live for someone other than you, and your willingness to make friends, provides an opportunity for people to have an eternal home in heaven. Wow. So as we start this series, we begin to look at what is a friend. And I'm explaining friendship. Here's what it is. It's not just, well, just tell me how I can have a best friend. You don't need a best friend. You need a true friend. Just tell me how I can have this friend. Tell me how I can have three or four friends. You don't want to limit your life like that. That's a very narrow way to live. You have no influence other than just with a few people. You're much bigger than that. God created you to do much more than that. So he says, I'm just going to put a whole mixture of people into your life. And your paths are going to cross. And those are your friends. And you use your life and your resources to do everything you can to make friends. And one day, when you get to heaven, they'll be there to greet you. How cool is that? What a great reward that is. So, the question is simply this today. Have you made life all about you or a very narrow group of people? And you're only concerned with them and how it affects you. Would you be willing today to ask God to forgive you for that? And to say, Lord, I want you to help me use my life to make friends. I want you to use the people in my life to help me grow up. I want you to use me to help them. I want one day to have a welcoming party in heaven when I get there. Use your resources to make friends. One day, Jesus was teaching something similar to this, and somebody popped up with this question. Well, just who's my friend? You know the story he told him? He told him the story of the Good Samaritan. Basically, the answer is this. Whoever you come across in the path of life, that's your friend. That's your friend. The other people saw the guy beat up in the road and went by. He uses the illustration of two people. They just go by and one stopped to help and took him in and helped him and did what he could do. Didn't know him from Adam. Jesus, when he's done telling the story, leaves him with this question. Tell me, who is the real friend? Who's the friend? It's anyone that you come across on the road of life that needs help. Now, let me just tell you something. Here's what I've learned. Everyone I come across in life needs help, self included. Are you that kind of friend? Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.